The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "Say this when you pray: Father, may your name be held holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us, and do not put us to the test." He also said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him in the middle of the night to say, 'My friend, lend me 3 loaves, because a friend of mine on his travels has just arrived at my house, and I have nothing to offer him.' And the man answers it from inside the house, 'Do not bother me. The door is bolted now, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give it to you.' I tell you, if the man does not get up and give it to him for friendship's sake, persistence will be enough to make him get up and give his friend all he wants. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For the one who asks always receives. The one who searches always finds. The one who knocks will always have the door opened to him. What father among you would hand his son a stone when he asks for bread, or hand him a snake instead of a fish, or hand him a scorpion if he asks for an egg? If you then, who are evil, know how to give your children what is good, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. A vital characteristic of all religious people, of any denomination or any religion, is prayer. It's what non-religious people expect and often want from us too. How often people may be at home or at work, or a neighbour ask, "Oh, say a prayer for me," or some similar words, or "light a candle for me." They know that we do and that we should pray. And prayer is central to everything that we do as Christians. Of course, the whole of the Mass is a prayer. But during it, of course, there are specific prayers, but we pray the Mass. We talk of celebrating, but we actually pray the whole Mass, start to finish, because within it, it contains everything that we need for prayer. And why? Because it's the prayer that Jesus offered his whole life to the Father, the whole of his life gathered up in this offering of himself, that he said to us, "Do this in memory of me." But Cardinal Hume always quoted the definition of the Catechism on prayer as one of the best definitions we have. And it said, "The raising of the heart and the mind to God." And then he always used to add, "They've missed a word, trying." He said, "Prayer is trying to raise our hearts and our minds to God." But we all know that we find prayer difficult in some ways, and sometimes we should make more time for it. But he also went on, Cardinal Hume, "The only failure in prayer is when we neglect it. And the only success in prayer is that sense of God's presence, or a deep peace, a sense of well-being, a marvelous moment of inner peace. That's a success. When it is, comes, it's that special gift from God." And in this year of Luke is always the evangelist who, more than any other, says Jesus was at prayer. He sees Jesus as a great man of prayer, a man who was always at prayer, and who, of course, teaches. So he prays before all important decisions. Time and again, he withdraws to some lonely place to be with his Father. And when Luke is writing about Jesus at prayer, he's got all of us in mind, because he's thinking of the Christian too. And that's why he's writing, so that we understand the one we follow is a man of deep prayer, and we are followers of him. And Luke also, and this is an important part of it, particularly for those people who asked us to pray for them, he says it's a way of surmounting our tribulations in life. Just as the Lord himself surmounted his passion with prayer. So Christians are to persevere in prayer to God. In order to obtain, through the tribulations of life brings, that attitude that is the Lord's in prayer, permeated through his Spirit. And so Jesus shows us what can happen in prayer when he prays at his baptism. Again, that's Luke. He said when he was at prayer and he came out, and as he came out, the heavens open above him. And he said that's a splendid image, Luke saying, an image of prayer, because we see and we glimpse and we catch something of God, or we renew our relationship with him. And when the composer Handel was writing that great oratorio, The Messiah, he wrote these words, "I did think, I did see all heaven before me, and the great God himself." When we pray, we're opening that way to heaven. And in it, when that happens, the Spirit descends upon us. That's why Luke ends that bit of the Gospel saying, "How much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who pray?" Because it's there for the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus within us that we're experiencing in our prayer. And when that happens, what happened to Jesus was he knew who he was. Because he heard the voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And we experience that, that as we open our hearts and our minds in prayer to God, we recognize who we are. "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Father-like, he tends and spares us. He's a loving God." And Jesus, of course, is giving us, not giving us because he gave the disciples, what we should pray, but our attitude in prayer. And so he gives that short, "Our Father." And when you read it again, it's worth reading, because it seems even shorter than the one we normally have. And many scholars believe that Luke actually preserves the original version that Jesus gave. But Jesus addresses God as Father, letting us share his relationship to him. "Abba, Father," he speaks about. The name is the reality of God. Let it be hallowed throughout the world and acknowledged by all. What a task that is. More and more people drift away, don't believe in God, don't want to know. And so Jesus is saying, that's one of our tasks, letting others know about God. And the kingdom then becomes God's glory, and it's to be established in the world. And that's why we pray for the coming of that kingdom. But also within us, we're little signs of the kingdom wherever we are, because we're Jesus. Jesus brings in the kingdom. And Luke, in a way, has given us a bit more, because it gives us those parables about the friend. And this is another interesting thing. I think Matthew and Mark use the word friend hardly ever, but Luke, 18 times, uses the word friend. And why? Because it celebrates the possibility between good people. You know, you think about your friends and your enemies. Our friends are what matter to us. And what he's saying is that good people have good relations with each other, with their friendships, but they also have that relationship with God the Father too, which is why he explains that parable, those two parables that come. And any good father, he says, knows what he wants to give the children, how much more God gives us the Holy Spirit. And that's why in our prayers, we pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whenever I pray the Lord's Prayer or speak about it on this occasion, I always like to end with the meditation that Cardinal Hume gave to Bishop John Cowley in the last two or three days of his life. Because the Cardinal said this in his dying days: "It's only now I begin to glimpse how everything we need is contained right there in the Lord's own prayer." And so Bishop Cowley says, he prayed these sentences, the Cardinal, with these comments: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, to sing the praises of God. It is for that for which we were made, and it is for that which will be for all eternity our greatest joy. Thy kingdom come, the gospel values of Jesus, justice, love, and peace, embraced throughout the world and in all their fullness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the only thing which really matters. What God wants for us is what is best for us."